So tonight is A Heart for His House Part 2. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And if you're you got your Bible tonight, which you should, you can go ahead and jump over to Luke chapter 11. We're going to start there. And I got some things on my heart, some things I'm really passionate about that I want to share with you guys. Some super critical, important things I think as believers and as the church that we should be doing. When you get to Luke chapter 11, say, I'm there. And then, y'all are A-plus students. I love it. Just got there. Man, I got some things on my heart I want to share with y'all tonight. Seeing the things that have been brewing in me for a few years now, and some things I'm passionate about, some core values of my life that I want to share with you guys. So to kick this off tonight, I want to pray, and then we'll get this thing going. Holy Spirit, we thank you that this service is yours. We honor you in this room tonight. Jesus, we honor you in this space. Lord, I thank you that every word is your wisdom, that what comes out tonight is edifying to the body and edifying to the soul. I thank you for that your word brings conviction, and that Holy Spirit, you lead and guide us tonight. We honor you. We thank you that your presence is in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so I want to continue the series, A Heart for His House. Man, was last week not fantastic? It was so good. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And our services are a huge part of what we do as the church, right? What we do on Sunday morning, what we do on Wednesday night, is very important and very integral to our church. But what we have to understand, you know, we're encouraged, we're filled up, we're challenged, we're equipped. But who we are as believers and who we are as followers of Jesus doesn't stop there. You know, our walk with Christ, our beliefs, our convictions, our morals, our lifestyles don't just stop when we they don't begin when we walk in the doors, and they don't stop when we walk out of these doors. And if we're not careful, we can fall into what I would call a rut lifestyle. Or as a lot of people would say, you know, we're going to draw this line of separation between, you know, we have the secular world and all the business going on, and then we have the religious world. And that's just not true. That is not, there is no separation. For the believer, there is no separation between the secular world and in our spiritual walk. Who we are in Christ should go into every space in the world in which we live. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into this rut lifestyle of separation, where this side of me is reserved for church, and this side of me is reserved for business, and this side of me is reserved for my home. And yes, there are different parts of you that are going to come out in different areas and different environments, but we have to guard against what we do in the house, and we have to make sure that it doesn't, we have to make sure that what happens in here, we have to make sure that we don't allow it to not have effect outside of here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what we do in the house needs to have its biggest effect outside of these walls.
Amen.
And we have to guard against just keeping it in here. When we try to separate religious and secular, we limit the effect we have on the world around us. When we try to make and compartmentalize our life, and I understand it might be easy, but it's not right. Ooh, let me get on a soapbox. Right don't mean easy. It means right. And simple don't mean easy, because simple things can be hard things. And just because it's easy to have that separation doesn't mean it's right. Well, then, okay, so what do? You be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit come in and empower you to do the right thing in the right circumstance and to be the light where you're at. Amen. Yes, thank you, John. Amen. This is a good word tonight. Be blessed with that. When we try to separate religious and secular, we limit the effect the world has us. The world around us. We limit the effect we have on the world around us. Why? Here's why. And this is important. Because we are limiting the effect the word has on the inside of us. If you're going to draw this line of separation between this is a church me and this is a not church me, or this is a this me and this is a not, you're slashing your power in half. Because one of the biggest things that we can be as the church is real and authentic and have congruency in our lives. That means they see the same us at all places. The same us at all places. That is so important. So Luke chapter 11, verse 33, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's bad, your body is filled with darkness. Verse 35, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, notice that. I'm in the New Living. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, if you're going to submit your life to Jesus, there's no space off limits to him. There's no area of your life that you get to seclude from him and say, no, you can't have this, Jesus. No, it's all or nothing. You're filled with light, so no dark corners, with no dark corners. Then your whole life will be radiant. Answer it, it might be Jesus. Ooh, that's a good song. Then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. If I was to turn all the lights off in this room and then get a big floodlight and shine it in your light, you would notice that, right? Yeah? You'd be like, ah, turn it off. Even if I did it with the lights on, it would hurt. So we have to understand this. What is or who the light is inside of us? The light is Jesus. John chapter 1 paints this so clearly when it says this. I didn't type it out in my notes. Got to turn there. John chapter 1 verse 6. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell us about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Verse 8. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Who was that? Jesus. So Jesus inside of us is the light that fills us and that radiates from the inside out of us. And because his light radiates from the inside out, that's the influence and the effect that we have on the world. When Jesus told Peter, on you I'll build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that wasn't a defensive statement for the church. That was an offensive statement, because light's always moving. Light's always going. And at no point was the church meant to sit back and play defense. We're supposed to go be offensive weapons of light to push back darkness. Amen? Okay. So the body of Christ. I have three main points I want to cover tonight. Point number one is this. The body of Christ is the light of the world. You write that down. Point number one is this. The body of Christ is the light of the world. Jump over to Matthew chapter 5. So Jesus is the light on the inside of us. And because Christ is the light on the inside of us, we as the church, as the body, we are the light of the world. As the body of Christ, we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. A few verses here. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. A couple points. You and I cannot hide who we are in Christ. You cannot hide. Okay? And another thing is, you shouldn't want to hide who you are in Christ. You shouldn't want to hide who you are in Christ. It may be advantageous in the eyes of man to hide who we are in Christ, but it is not giving glory to God to hide who we are in Christ. And that last line of verse 16 is everything we need to know of why we are the light and what our purpose is as the light. In the same way, verse 16, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. When we do the works of Christ, when we walk in good deeds, it's not so, you know, good job, you know, yay, you did great. It's not so we can get pats on the back. It's so people can glorify God. It's so people can glorify God. And a lot of times, you know, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to stand out. Yes, you do want to stand out so you can give him the credit for it. You do want to stand out. You do want to be different so you can give him the credit for it. And it's easy to take a back seat and hide in the shadows, but light doesn't hide in the shadows. Light exposes the shadows. As a believer, it should be difficult to hide that you're a believer. And it's not necessarily in what you say, even though that is a revealer of who you are, but it's also in how you live. How we live is being the light. What we do, that little act of kindness that you think is insignificant could change someone's entire life. That generosity you give somebody, that little thing that you may think is insignificant could radically transform someone's life. Just being who you are in Christ confidently. Or maybe you're not there yet and you're working to be confident, but just simply being who you are in Christ and not being ashamed of who you are in Christ could have a huge impact on someone's life. We don't realize you might be the only authentic believer someone sees. You might be the only authentic believer someone sees. Because non-authentic believers can have a very detrimental effect on the spreading of the gospel. We'll get there in a minute. Remember, what we do is to praise God. When we hide the light, we think we're praising God, but we're actually just being apathetic in comfort. And that's not the call of the believer. We're not called to be apathetic in comfort. Being the light might make you uncomfortable, but if it brings glory to God, it's worth. He is worthy. Right? He's worthy of our discomfort. Amen? Okay. Less by what we say, more by how we live. We are the light, and we shine our light, our good deeds, to praise God. We have to remember, as the church, our main responsibility is to glorify God in everything we do. Our main responsibility is to glorify God in everything to do. When we lay hands on the sick and they recover, it's so God can be glorified. When someone's needs are met, it's so God can be glorified. When his presence fills the room, it's so God can be glorified. Why do we want God to be glorified? So everyone will praise our Heavenly Father. When we attempt to draw the line of separation of religious and secular, we're not living to glorify God. In those moments, we're actually living to glorify ourselves. And we have to understand this. I'm kind of laying a little bit of groundwork with point one. We have to understand this. People see us, and whether we like it or not, they have perceptions about believers. The unbelieving world has perceptions about believers. They have opinions. And a lot of times, whether we like it or not, people will judge God or the church based on our actions. But we shouldn't care about what people think. We all care about what people think. I'll quote Tim Brooks. I didn't come up here and preach in a Speedo because I care about what you think. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Be blessed. Because we care. I care about what you think. I care about what my wife thinks. It's just, whoo. We're seen. Well, I'm insignificant. No, you're not. No one notices me. That's not true. You are significant. You are seen. Well, I'm not seen by a lot of people. What does it matter? If you're seen by one and their life's changed, it's worth it. It's worth it. We can't, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but don't count yourself as insignificant. Insignificant is not a call of the Christian. Fearlessness is the call of the Christian, so go be fearless. Point number two. As the church, we permeate into every part of society. As the church, we permeate into every part of society. Now, I get excited about this one. I'm really excited about this one. The church, you have to understand this. In the history of the church has been the most influential entity on the face of the earth. No one's helped the homeless, fed the poor, helped the broken more than the church. Now, we are not the most influential entity on the earth because we hold political positions of power, and you need to understand this. Our authority doesn't come from what we have in offices or politics. If the church can thrive under the evil Emperor Nero, it can thrive in an America that's not ran by a Republican. That's right. But praise God, we have some godly leadership. So we should be really thriving. But even in darkness, the church is going to thrive because our power doesn't come from political positions. Our influence doesn't come because we're in charge. It's because the church, as in you and I, are in everything that goes on in society. I wish we could just take a poll and ask where everyone works, what you do during the day, what your 9-to-5 looks like. Because if we did that, just RCC, we would see that we're in everything just in the River Valley. There's no space left untouched. There's no area that we're not in, that we're not influencing. And we have to know that. We have a responsibility because we know that. So the church is influential because we are in everything. Not because RCC is in everything, but because you, the believer, you're out there. You're out there. You're doing it. We're in everything that goes on, and the values we hold and the spirit inside of us determines how you and I live. And the way we live, as in bearing the fruit of the Spirit, walking in character and integrity, being givers, walking in kindness and mercy, living out our righteousness and our holiness to God, that's the biggest impact on the world around us. I would love to think that all the sermons I preach in my lifetime is the biggest influence I'm going to have on this society, because it's not. I have a little 2-year-old named Ayla. And what I instill in her is what's going to have an impact on this society. You're going to get out of here, and unless you listen to this in a month, you're not going to remember a word I say tonight. There's some things that might stick with you, but that's just the reality of it. And that's okay. That's okay. The peak of Christianity isn't memorizing every sermon. It's going and being the light of the world. Come on. The biggest influence I have as a believer is what I do in my home. It's what I do on the job site. It's who I am in the public square. It's who I am on social media. It's who we are. We, as the church, have the biggest impact on the world. No one has done more for the lost, the destitute, the cast aside, those discriminated against, more than the church. We truly are the light of the world. There's no more benevolent organization than the church. To discount your everyday influence on the world around you, I want you to hear this. To discount your everyday influence on the world around you is to forget who is on the inside of you. To discount your everyday influence on the world around you is to forget who is on the inside of you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I teach a high school Bible class at Valley Christian 4 days a week, and on our Bible days we've been doing 1 Corinthians, and we talked about this Monday and Tuesday, and I got to talk about, we're going to be in verse 16 of chapter 3. I got to talk about verse 16, so I got to explain to a bunch of high schoolers how we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's just fun to me. That's a blast. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. So let me give you a little backstory on 1 Corinthians 3, since I've got it in my mind kind of there. Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and one of the biggest issues they're having is discord amongst the believers, and the believers are arguing with each other because some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, and Paul and Apollos are like, y'all stupid, we all follow Jesus. I mean, that's the crux of it, if I can put it in layman's terms. So you might have to edit out stupid, but that's fine. Anyways, we'll, twice. But Paul is addressing them, and he's like, hey, you can't take marriage spiritual meat because you need milk, because you can't agree, because you're thinking you have value because you follow me, or you have value because you follow Apollos, and our only value comes from Christ. That's really the crux of the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, as amongst some other things. And then Paul goes into this really great idea in verse 16, and I think it's beautiful and applies greatly to us as the church and our influence. Don't you realize, verse 16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Woo! Verse 16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? We talked about this several weeks ago, last time I spoke. The Spirit of God is the pneuma, the wind of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. So when we as the church go out and have an influence on the world, it's as if God is breathing onto society. That was really good. I'm going to say that again. When we go out and we have an influence on society, if we have the Spirit of God, the pneuma, the breath, the wind of God, when we go out and do good deeds and bear the fruit of the Spirit, that is God's breath moving on our culture and society. And we have a lot of Christians sitting back waiting for God to move whenever they have to realize the Holy Spirit's on the inside of them so they can get up and move. Oh, man. It can be easy to see what we as pastors do is the only avenue for ministry, and it's not. I would argue what we do in here and what we do from the pulpit is a catalyst for the biggest ministry the church does. What we do from the pulpit as the ministry, as the fivefold ministry, is the catalyst for the biggest ministry that the church does. And that's this, you waking up tomorrow and being who you are. You waking up tomorrow, doing what you do, and being who you are. That's it. And that's really simple, Dylan. Yeah, it is really simple. Doesn't mean it's easy. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. But we want to make ministry to this grandiose thing, and a lot of times the biggest ministry is found in the monotonous things. You really want to make an impact on someone's life when you're at work doing the most boring job, have the most joy and the most thankfulness. You're going to stand out. Because a lot of times when I've worked I've done some monotonous things. I was an electrician for 9 years. That you get a house with 100 outlets in it, you're the one doing it. I'm the low man. It's me and the boss. And guess what? He's the boss. I'm not. I'm the low man. I get to put in 100 outlets. That sounds monotonous. But if I'm doing it praising God and being thankful, that's a ministry. And one of the biggest things, I'll tell you what. Before I came on full time here, the Lord had been dealing with me about some stuff, but I always saw what I did as ministry, even as an electrician. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first week here, a contractor here in town, a business owner, a man older than me, reached out and texted me. And he said, "Hey, I want to thank you for the impact you've had on my life. And I'm going to miss seeing you all the time." I just showed up to work, man. Did I have moments? You guarantee it. There's a couple. I'll be honest here. Let's be real, okay? There's a couple times where I got real frustrated, and that beautiful Milwaukee drill went the other way. I know. You're a youth pastor. I'm not perfect. Oh, no. Get real mad. Get red-faced. Now, it's not necessarily about never messing up, but, man, unbelievers want to see how we respond to adversity in our lives. Do we own our mistakes? Because I remember I would break something. It's like 4:30. I'm supposed to go home at 5. I'm like, well, I'm not getting off on time tonight. And I'm just getting frustrated. And then just, you know, you get mad and just take that drill and just phew in a very aggressive way. But and I remember I'd do that. And of course, you know, you feel bad afterward because I have the Holy Spirit in me. And he's like, "Hey, bud, shouldn't have done that." And I remember sitting back and, you know, if I was around anyone or to God, I'd just be like, "God, forgive me for my anger." Or if I did it in front of a coworker, I'd be, "Hey, man, I'm sorry for how I acted. It's not acceptable. I got to do better." Or if I did it, my former boss was Todd. A lot of y'all know Todd. I'd say, "Hey, Todd, I shouldn't have acted that way. I'm so sorry." And that's a witness. That's a witness. That's a witness, y'all. It's not about how perfect we can be, man, because you're going to mess up. You're gonna have those days where you really need the grace of God. And sometimes the grace of God is in saying, "Hey, I'm really sorry for how I acted. That was not appropriate. I'm going to do better." And then we do better. Man, I'm glad we got a bunch of perfect people in here, so that's good to know. No, I'm kidding. It can be easy to see what we as pastors do is the only avenue for ministry. And I would argue this, what we do in the pulpit is the biggest catalyst, I would argue that the catalyst for the biggest ministry the church does, what we do here in the pulpit is the catalyst for the biggest ministry the church does, which is you waking up in the morning and doing what you do to the glory of God. with joy and thanksgiving in your heart, with a godly attitude. Man, it can be easy to get into an attitude where just everything is bad and everything's wrong, and all, but man, we have to make the intentional effort to say, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to let my flesh govern my attitude. You're going to govern my attitude today. We got to be real. We got to be honest about that. We got to give that weakness, as Susan talked about on Sunday morning. If my attitude's my weakness, I got to say, Lord, help me in my attitude. I submit my attitude to you. I don't have to be strong. I don't have to make it happen. But I'm going to allow you, Holy Spirit, to empower me in my mindset, in my words, in my thoughts, in my body language, and everything I do. You're going to empower me in that. The ministry, the fivefold, equips you for ministry. So don't count yourself out just because you don't hold the title of pastor. Just because. And I would say, and honestly, I'd be really real. I really enjoyed having converse, because I was a pastor for, Rachel and I, we were ordained, and we started leading the youth in 2018. I didn't come on full time here until 2023. Yeah, 2023. So there was a few years where I was a pastor working in the electrical field, and I love having conversations with people and just, you know, asking them, talking to them, and they're like, oh, what do you do, man? I was like, well, I'm an electrician, and I'm also a pastor, and they're like, oh, man, I'm sorry for my language, you know, all these things. And it's like, you know, it's fine, but it's just this opening. And just being kind to people has such a huge impact. We don't know. We don't know what we do in people's lives when we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Point number three. Number three, our responsibility. If the influence of the gospel in the light of Christ's body, which is us, we are the body of Christ, is going to permeate every part of society, it has to permeate every part of our lives. We can't have any space in our lives that is off limits to the Holy Spirit. When we attempt to draw a line between religious and secular in the world, it's easier in our lives to begin to let that separation take place on the inside of us as well. So we separate, and this is church, this is business, and these are not, they don't mix. You know, they should 100% mix. As in, when you do business dealings, you do them honestly. As an employee, you show up to work and you do an excellent job because you're working unto the Lord. As a business owner, you treat your employees with respect and dignity. You know, as a customer, I think this is really, as a customer in society, we don't go in, you know, if we're going to be loving, love does not demand its own way. Sometimes as customers, we got to quit demanding our own way. You know, there has to be some really real things that our beliefs as Christians have to also cross over into every space in our lives. Because you don't know that cashier, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone says, you know, I'll never do this, I'll never believe in God. And then a Christian comes along and has this big impact on their life. And it's, they're like, they did the thing. We have to understand, you might come across a cashier or someone working as a customer that has always had bad experiences with maybe people that say they go to church or say they're Christians. And you come along and you just begin to shed kindness in the light of the Lord. And all of a sudden their perspective begins to change. Their heart of stone begins to turn to a heart of flesh because the light of the light of the world just walked in. You full of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to say we have the Holy Spirit, we have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think a lot of times we, you know, especially as men, we think that our strength is in our bravado or our intensity. And I would say as men, our real strength is our ability to be kind and gentle. You really want to make someone pay attention as a man, don't get worked up. Humble yourself. Because there's men that can get mad, dime a dozen. Let's be honest. Men that can get mad is a dime a dozen. But a man that has self-control, that walks in kindness and gentleness, that stands out. Well, I don't want to be walked on. Okay. Do you want to bear the light of the world? Do you want to love the world? Do you want to love people? Quit trying to not look like you're getting walked on and actually begin to war in the Spirit, not the flesh. Can I minister for a little bit? Can I be pastoral? this goes for everyone. A lot of times we think our strength is the ability to war in the flesh, as in I'm going to stand up to, and there's times you have to stand up for yourself. Okay, don't. I'm not painting with a broad brush. There is nuance to this. I'm not coming out with this black and white thing, okay? What I am saying is our strength is not in our physical abilities. Our strength is not in my ability to be more right than you. It's not in my ability to be louder or be harsher or more intense than you. My strength is who the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And there's times where we have to take a step back, shut our mouths, and rather than trying to make it what we want it to be in the moment, we need to go into the prayer closet and pray for the person who has become our enemy. And we need to be able to love our enemies. Christ said, love those who persecute you. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. I don't want to be a doormat. Why are we so concerned about that? Because you might being willing to humble yourself might be the ministry that gets that person saved. The impact we have on the world is not in our ability, in our human flesh. You know, we do not war against flesh and blood, but against every principality and spiritual authority that exalts itself above God. You know, we our war is not with people, it's with darkness that influences people. And that war is not fought face to face. Sometimes it's not fought face to face with the person, it's fought face to face with Christ. It's fought in what great litmus test is if you're walking in love towards that person. And you might have to say this in faith. You have someone that you're having a struggle with. God, I thank you for that person. That's a real thing. You know, because it's real easy to have those arguments in your head where you win all the time. Just me. Rather, no, Lord, I'm thankful for that person. Lord, I pray for their heart, Lord, and sometimes we have to say this, Lord, examine me. Show me. Where have I wronged you, Lord? That's love, man. That's being a witness. That's being the church. That's different. That's other than. That's holiness. We cannot let there be separation on the inside of us. We can't believe that there are spaces in our hearts that are in our lives that are off limits to God, and spaces inside of us that He can have. James heavily warns of that. That's the double-minded man. That's the double-minded man who's unstable in all of his ways. Rick Renner had a great example. I'm not going to bring it up tonight. Yes, yes, you're welcome. Yeah. Don't be the double-minded man. John brought it up. It's like two heads just going two different directions. Let's stop. We're done. Throw it in reverse. All right, next point. We have to understand this, that we can either lead people to Jesus by our actions and words, or we can be the number one deterrent by our actions and words. Can I be very honest? I've had people tell me, I won't go to church because of what that person who went to church did to me. That does two things in me. Breaks my heart for that person and makes me really mad at the same time. As a righteous anger of like, come on, we got to do better. We got to do better. And then in that moment, I got to go, maybe this is my chance to love this person. It's very real things. We have a responsibility. If we are the body of Christ and we are the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, if darkness will not prevail against light, we have a responsibility to bear the fruit of light and live it out every day. And you're like, man, Dylan, I am not there yet. My emotions are still my driving me. I've got some issues with my words, my mouth, my anger. Just as the man who brought his demon-possessed son, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You need to get in the secret place. You need to get into the word. You need to get into prayer. And you need to say, Holy Spirit, empower me where I am weak. If my anger is a problem, Holy Spirit, you empower me to kindness. And you need, as you're driving to work or on the way home, you need to say, anger has no hold on me anymore, but the fruit of kindness is going to be born in my life. You need to start speaking that over yourself. Just like we speak God's provision and health over our life, we need to speak His fruit over our life. Lord, that Your gentleness will come out. Lord, help my gentleness with my sweet daughter. Help my gentleness with the youth that I lead. Help my gentleness with my family. Help my gentleness, Lord. Help my consistency, my faithfulness. You're like, I'm just not there yet. Ask him for help. If any man ask in faith, he will give. If you need wisdom, ask our generous. Say, I serve. A generous God. And everything that I have need of comes into my life. You believe that?
Yes.
Come on, we have to realize that's not just financial or health. Even though it does just all those, include those things, you're lacking in something emotionally, he can meet that need. You're lacking in something mentally, he can meet that need. Now, I speak hormonal balance over every person in this room tonight in the name of Jesus. Mental stability, peace in the name of Jesus over your lives. You receive that?
Yes.
Come on. Here's a question. If we can be the number one deterrent, here's a question unbelievers would ask. I want to illustrate it by this. An unbeliever might ask this question. Why should I believe? Let's say I'm in the public square and I say I'm a Christian and then my actions don't show it, okay? And then I want to share the gospel with that person. Here's something they might say. And this is why we need to be responsible. Why should I believe and trust if you say you believe and trust, yet don't act like you do? The world doesn't want another version of itself. Lost people don't want to look. Lost people aren't looking for people who look lost. They're people looking for people who know they're found. We cannot let our following of Jesus just become lip service. People have to see it in our words, in our actions, and in our convictions. In our convictions. What do you mean? Are you honest at all cost? Man, one thing my father taught me, he said, Dylan, it's easier to be honest the first time, no matter how painful it is. No matter how painful it is. And that's been painful. Sometimes painful in what I hear from other people. Sometimes painful to my pocketbook. Sometimes being real costs you something. And that's okay. If it honors the Lord, there's a cost to following Jesus, people. There is a cost to discipleship. Count the cost. Count the cost. By our convictions. Listen, Jesus told his disciples that the world would know them by their love for each other. So that means the world sees us. We stand out. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You get something out of tonight. I'm excited. This stuff burns in me. I want to say thank you for letting me challenge you as a pastor here. Thank you for letting me challenge you. And thank you for letting me minister and encourage you guys. Can I say that?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for you guys. I've been blessed to grow up in this church. And one thing I've been blessed to see is consistent, steady believers. And I'm so thankful. As a young man, I've been able to see consistent and steady believers. And I am who I am today because the church just got up and did what they did every day. Day after day after day. They fall, they get back up, and they go day day after day. I'm thankful. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, we're going to jump. I wanted to read. There's a lot of really good stuff in Ephesians. A little study if you want to go home, because I don't have time to do all of this tonight. But Ephesians 4 verses 17 all the way through Ephesians 5. Verses 20 directly apply to a lot of what I'm saying tonight. And a lot, you know, you'll find, the first verse in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4 that I mentioned, so Ephesians 4:17, with the Lord's authority, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Okay, so there's boom. how we live. Paul's directly addressing not what they do in church service, but how they live outside of the building. You know, he goes on and he lists a lot of things. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for it gives a foothold to the devil. You know, if you're a thief, quit stealing. And then it goes on in chapter 5. This is a really powerful scripture. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So if we're not going to live like the world, who do we live like? Our Heavenly Father, God. And then it goes into list a lot of things. You know, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Sins like these have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. And it goes on to list a lot more things. And then I love verse 6. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness. Okay, here we go. Darkness and light being contrasted again. But now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. There is, listen, in the believer, we don't have different sections of our lives. We have a congruency of who we are across our entire life. People of the light. At work, people of the light. At home, people of the light. At church, people of the light. In the public square, as people of the light. On social media, we're people of the light. But now you have the light from the Lord, so live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Verse 10 of chapter 5 through verse 20 is incredible. And I think I've taught on these section of verses for like 2 months to the youth group. Because it's such an important, integral part of a believer's life. Verse 10 of chapter 5. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. If I'm going to carefully determine what pleases the Lord, that means I'm not out trying to chase what pleases man or pleases myself. Okay, let's keep reading. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Take no parts. Okay, well, how do we know when it's worthless deeds of evil? We'll get there. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Okay, verse 15. If we're going to live as the light, if we're going to be the church, we have to do this. So be careful how you live. Say, it matters.
It matters.
How I live.
How I live.
Amen. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Verse 16, this is a big deal. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Listen, church, you want to be the light? There are opportunities every single day, countless opportunity to be the light. I want to read out of 1 Peter 5:8. Don't turn there. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Okay, if you're not going to be alert and you're not going to be of sober mind, you won't be able to recognize the opportunities when they come. Okay, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Okay, so when we are alert and of sober mind, we have the ability to see the opportunities to be the light. Okay, so you're in a tough situation, you're in a stressful situation. Being sober-minded and taking the most of every opportunity is your ability to step back and say, whoa, I need to be the light of the world right here. I don't need to act in my flesh. I love what Ashley Ellison said at a minister's conference 1 year. We don't need to react, we need to respond. And the difference between a reaction and a response is a breath. Take a breath. Eat a sandwich. Glory to God. Amen. Sometimes you just got to take a minute. Take a breath. We have to be aware of the opportunities we have. And I love this. Verse 17. This is just packed. Don't act thoughtlessly. I can't tell you how many times the things that I regret were my thoughtless actions. And the things that I feel like the Lord says, hey, I'm proud of you, son. Of course, he always says he loves us. He's always proud of me. But the things where I'm just like, praise God for your Holy Spirit, is when I just took a minute and I thought, and I submitted my mind. You know, our mind renewal is for moments that are difficult. Our minds are renewed so we can act thoughtfully. It said, don't act, verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. I love that. Be that weird Christian that's always happy. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord, Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, it is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be the church. All right, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Amen. Did you get something out of that tonight? Yes. Yes. Praise God. Say, I am the church.
I am the light of the world.
And the gates of hell
will not prevail.
Amen. Amen. All right.